Well, today is Veterans Day, as you well know. And we honor those who serve and those who wait on those who serve. And if you're here and you're a veteran, you're serving in the military, we say, yay, God, for you, your bravery, your courage, your sacrifice. It is never, ever forgotten. We live in a culture that admires and elevates the role of the American soldier, as we should. And I read a story the other day that really brought this back home again. In 2003, when Hurricane Isabel was bearing down on Washington, D.C., something very unusual happened as the government literally shut down for 2 days. The House and the Senate, all the military bases shut down. And the soldiers who guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier were dismissed because of the danger. And these soldiers, for the first time in their history, disobeyed a presidential order. They stayed at their post. They guarded this tomb of the unknown soldier all the way through Hurricane Isabel, making sure that the record of this tomb being guarded as a way of honoring the fallen and the servicemen and women of our country. This tomb has been guarded now 24/7, 365 since 1930. That guard has been changed every 30 minutes. 24/7, 365 since 1930. It's a sacred job to be able to guard that tomb. For example, if you like, apply. You have to be between 5'10 and 6'2. I'm 6'2.5, so I'm too tall. And I'm also something else too. Your waist size cannot exceed 30. What normal human being is going to be 6'2 and have a waist 30? That is not right. You have to commit 2 years of your life to this task. You have to promise that you will not use alcohol in any form for the rest of your life. You have to promise that you will never swear in public for the rest of your life. If you serve for 2 years, you get a lapel pin. It's a wreath, and it's worn only now by 400 people in the world. For 6 months of duty, a person who applies to this, for the first 6 months, they can't speak to anyone. Can't drink for the rest of your life, can't swear for the rest of your life, can't talk to anyone for 6 months, can't watch TV. Now, I'm out on that one right there for 6 months. All you do for the first 6 months is memorize the names and the deeds of the 175 people who are buried in Arlington National Cemetery. You spend 5 hours a day preparing a uniform that you wear for 30 minutes. Now that just seems like a job with a high level of commitment, doesn't it? I mean, if your son or daughter were going to apply for this, you might want to talk them out of it. Hey, you know what? You got to take care of your clothes 5 hours a day. You can't even make up your bed. You can't never swear again for the rest of your life. That leaves some of you out right there, wouldn't it? I mean, that's the only language you know except the King James Bible, right? I mean, that'd be tough. Here's what hit me when I read this. You know, most of us don't get stuff like this. We don't get it when people do things like this, when they sacrifice, when they commit, when they commit to a higher standard than ordinary. We're bothered by people who do this, who really excel, who put standards and weights and expectations on themselves to come up to what we seem is an irrational standard. Because in our culture, what we really want is we want people who just kind of seek the middle. It's the mediocre life. It's the life of comfort. The life in the lazy boy. I think that's why I love my calling in life. God has called me. Here's my mission statement. My mission in life is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I carry around a can of gasoline and set on fire every lazy boy I can find to get people up and out and into life and ask them to do things for their lives that call for commitment, that call for them to drink the Kool-Aid, to do something special, big, important, that might require them to live the kind of life that ordinary mortals wouldn't understand. To pursue a dream so big that if God didn't show up, it's doomed for failure. To see a wrong and right it. To see a need and fill it. To see a load and lift it. To see a hurt and heal it. To advance the good. To serve noble ideas like truth, beauty, love, and honor. To do something out of their lives that makes their life memorable, important. Are you that person? Are you the one we've been waiting for? The one who steps into the breach and lives an extraordinary life. If you are, you're going to have a day in your life when you're going to have to burn the lazy boy. That's day one. Day two is the day when you really commit all in. You drink the Kool-Aid. And day three will be the day when you wake up and realize that the facts no longer matter. Facts, right? We live in a world of facts. And advice. Our TV channels are crowded with commentators. And aren't they commentators? Critics. Prognosticators. Those who can predict the future. Those who raise our blood pressure and lower our faith level. Those who tell us it can't be done. That the world is going to hell in the handbasket. And it's messed up in a way that can never be undone. That there are no more great books, great songs, and great stories to be told. And all of that is a lie from the pit of hell. You just may be the one we're waiting for. Someone who rises above the facts. Someone who understands that advice, while it can be a good thing, is not always a God thing. I mean, the question is, why would anyone give you bad advice? When you start dreaming or daring or doing or making plans, people will respond. Some people give you bad advice simply because they're jealous. I mean, let's be honest. If some of you become spectacular, you're going to make the mediocre people around you nervous. Huh? When it's no longer go to work, get off, go have a few beers, sit around and wait till the next day and do it all over again. You all of a sudden become a thorn in the side of those who've just kind of sought the middle, the average and the mediocre. Some people give you bad advice because they don't want to see you get hurt. Usually those are family members. And by the way, if you ever start to dream and dare and aspire to do something really great, oftentimes your family will form the cold water committee and hose you down and remind you that you don't even make up your own bed. You know, you just barely got through high school and high school English was not your best course. And they'll remind you of all your embarrassing. Have you ever noticed as you get older, your parents invent more embarrassing things that they think you did, you never did. And they're happy to tell anyone and embarrass you. Some people give you bad advice just because they don't want their own comfort level challenged. Some people give you bad advice because if you really break out of your circle, they're going to be directly affected. Here's a great example in the life of Jesus. Listen to what the scriptures say. From the time that Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised, he started telling his disciples, now think of this, finally, his disciples leave everything, they follow Jesus. And at first it's tough. But all of a sudden now Jesus is becoming cool. I mean, they're having crusades. They're having crowds coming. I mean, when Jesus started giving away fish dinners, started walking on the water, raising the dead, and turning water into wine, he's popular. He's on the CMA Awards. He's on every TV program. I mean, they're raking in the offerings. They got book deals. They're going to put the Sermon on the Mount on iTunes. And all of a sudden, into this enterprise, Jesus dares say, oh, by the way, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to put me on trial. They're going to falsely accuse me. They're going to beat me to death. And they're going to hang me on a cross. And just wanted to let you guys know, put that on the day timer. See how that works for you. And what did Peter say? Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Now, you want to rebuke the Son of God? You've got guts. Or you're stupid. Never, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. What about our concert dates? We have sold out. You have a new book coming out from Random House. Book deals, signings. What's going to happen to all of this? And Jesus turned and said to Peter, thank you for reminding me there for a moment. I lost my mind. It's better that I live in the kingdom of God. Be noise abroad in every city. And that's not what he said, is it? He looked at Peter and says, Satan, get behind me. Get behind me, because you're talking like the enemy. You mind the things of man, not the things of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a point at which you have to part company with ordinary thinking, with a party line, where this seems to be the right thing. There's a time when you have to break out. When you have to do something that just doesn't make sense to people. The facts don't add up for them. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when you really decide to do something amazing with your life, you decide to go to college or graduate school or get a PhD or there's 100,000 different amazing ways you can be the person we've been looking for. But the minute you decide to do something beyond just the ordinary, you know, go to work, get a job, pay the bills, shut up, get in line, people will start giving you advice. Have you ever noticed that people are just really generous with advice? Here's some advice I don't need. I don't need people's unethical advice. You know, early in the season, probably arguably the greatest football team that has ever played the game is playing today in the New England Patriots. I know that they can be debated, but they're pretty amazing. And yet, their play is tainted by this video gate. What did it add? Probably nothing. But what was the response that we heard? Everyone's doing it. And that's exactly how life is explained away, isn't it? Everyone's doing it. Everyone cheats. No, not everyone's doing it, and not everyone cheats. Listen to this, Proverbs 4. Don't set foot on the path of the wicked or walk on the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Do not travel it. Turn from it. Go the other way. Listen, there is no shortcut to any place worth going. No shortcut in marriage, no shortcut as a parent, no shortcut as a man, no shortcut as a woman, no shortcut worth taking. Do not take the advice of those who say, you know what, you can't take the high road, you can't be honest, you can't be good, you can't be kind, you can't be generous, you can't be compassionate, people take advantage of you. See, my prayer, my hope is not that you will show up, but that God will show up. And oftentimes he shows up through people. I also don't need other people's unsolicited advice. You ever get any of that? People who just God told them to tell you. Somehow they just know the cause and cure of your current calamity. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one, right? I also don't need other people's unqualified advice. If you're going to tell me how to raise my kids, you better be raising yours. You better be in this hunt. You're going to tell me how to be a great husband, you better be out there gaining on your husband demons. Can I hear an amen? I don't want people who just, you know, stand on the sidelines. I want people who are in the game. Who are on the team. Now, I'm not saying we don't need people. Listen to this. Plans fail for lack of counsel. Proverbs 15. But with many advisors, they succeed. Everything great that God is going to do in you and through you is going to have to involve other people. Because all of our dreams, if they're legitimate, are dreams that fill a need, heal a hurt, lift a load, do something that directly affects helping people. It's one of the reasons I love being a pastor, because I think I can help people. I love it. I love the task of bringing hope to the world, of bringing truth to the world, of being the kind of person that when people are around, they know that I'm going to tell the truth, but I'm going to try to tell it with grace and generosity and compassion and tenderness. I want to be the kind of guy that when you think about Sunday morning, you cannot wait to get to the gathering, because no matter how low you come in here, if you are so low that you could come underneath a closed door and not bump your head, and that's low. That you knew when you came to the gathering, you'd be picked up. That you'd be around a bunch of other really happy, weird people who believe that if God saved us from hell and is going to take us to heaven and hasn't yet, something good must be going on. I mean, I woke up today and I was alive and I said, "Woo!" Did you? You may not have said that, but you said, "Hey, I'm alive. I feel myself. I could go pee." And you could go pee. And that's a good thing when you can go pee on your own. Right? I mean, I want to be, listen to your laugh. I wouldn't go to church where people didn't laugh. I wouldn't want to work a place where people didn't laugh. Listen to this description of how you pick people up. If there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion. Now, does that describe the ordinary Christian to you? Encouragement, unity, comfort, love, compassion, tenderness. This is what Paul says. If this is the kind of person we become as Christ followers, then make my joy complete and be this way. Have the same love and the same spirit. Don't be selfish. Don't have ambition that's just all about you. Don't have vain conceit. Don't judge yourself better than you really are. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also on the interests of others. This is not a description of a weak person. This is a description of a strong person. And when you love to be around people like that, do you have those kind of people? Who are they? What are their names? They can pick you up. They're encouragers. They bring unity and joy and energy to the table. Have you ever been in a work environment and you hire someone and they just suck the oxygen and energy out of the room? And you think, why did we hire this person? You know why? Because we go by the facts. We read the resume. We have this linear way of distinguishing who's in and who's out. And you forget that there are qualities of people like joy and generosity and goodness and kindness and compassion that are more important than degrees and work experience. There are these intangibles. I want to be around people, secondly, who not only pick me up, but those who calm me down. I mean, have you ever been around people this way? I don't know anybody this way, but I've met some people like this. They have high, high, high. They're really high, high, high. And they can be really low, low, low. And they're like really close together. You ever know anybody like that? I still hear that there are people like that. I need to be around someone who calms me down when I get, you know, all worked up. Have you ever just been going along having just a wonderful day and all of a sudden you get an email or a bit of information, all of a sudden now you're all stressed out and you're fidgety and you're worried and you're thinking? Paul was that way. He wrote to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and said, "My first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them." Here's a guy who poured out his life, who crisscrossed the country, who's seen church after church, the greatest Christian missionary in the history of the world. And he says, when I was on trial for my life, I was deserted. And what did he do? He wrote his son, Timothy. All we know about Timothy is Timothy was demure, that Timothy was muted in his personality. Some would call shy. I would call stable. We need some stable people in our lives. Some will pick us up, some that will calm us down. We also need some people in our lives who will fire us up. Who just fire us up, who will remind us. Have you ever come to the gathering or come to any environment like this? You get fired up and then you go outside and all of a sudden you start cooling down. It's called the hot poker principle. You know, you take a fire and you put a poker in it and just leave it in the center of that fire and pull it out. It's white hot, isn't it? You set it to the side, what will happen? It just cools off. Gets back to room temperature. You know, what do you got to do? Yeah, keep it close to that fire. I love what, now, in the verse before this, Paul was writing to Timothy saying, you know what, you know, pick me up here, calm me, help me here. And now he's reversing. He says, Timothy, I want to remind you to stir into a flame the strength and the boldness that's in you. The energy when I laid hands and God called you into this. The Holy Spirit's gift does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy what? Joy being with them. Just enjoy being with people. If they come across and bless you, praise God. And if they let you down, just say, you know what? That's just that. My hope is not in everyone taking care of me. My hope is not in everyone coming across for me. I mean, I tell you, this is big stuff. Because oftentimes in life, what happens is that we let our lives get determined by what we consider and interpret to be the faithfulness of other people to come across for us. And here's what I've found. I have a unique position. I have found that sometimes the very people that you've poured the most of your life into in the crunch will betray you. And some of the people that, quite frankly, you've ignored or not really focused on or not really noticed will be right there and lift you and take care of you and love you and support you. Isn't that weird? You just can't predict. But what you can trust is that God always has his people. He's got people out there for you. People who love you. You know what my problem was as a pastor? I just wouldn't let anybody love me. Because I always felt I had to be strong. I'm a pastor. I'm anointed. You know, I mean, I know God. I know God better than Mother Teresa did. I mean, I know God. I pray and holy smoke comes down. Was taken up in the third heaven and ordained and sent back down on earth. No, I'm just a guy who hurts and bleeds and talks himself into misery just like everyone else. Can I hear an amen? And I forget sometimes, you know what? You got to give people space to love you, to care about you. You pout and whine and moan and get in a corner. Have you ever just ruined your life on what you thought people should have known and should have done, but couldn't have known and couldn't have done because you didn't tell them? You should have known I was hurt. How could I know? I mean, get married. See if you can read the mind of your mate. Can I hear an amen? We don't go down that wall, do we? You need somebody who can fire you up. You also need someone who can set you straight. We talked about not too many weeks ago this character Nathan, who came into the life of King David, who had committed adultery and fraud and manslaughter and malfeasance of leadership, who had disgraced himself and tried to hide it. And Nathan looked at David and said, "You have caused the country. You've caused disgrace on your name and your country. You've sinned against God." You need someone who can speak the truth into your life, but who loves you, who's going to be with you there to help you. Because oftentimes we start out with these big hopes and dreams, and all of a sudden they get muted or they get lost or they get sidetracked. You need someone who will come in and pick you up and calm you down and fire you up and set you straight. And then the last, you need someone who will set you free. Set you free from all these limits and limitations that get put on you. I wrote an entire book about this. Accept No Mediocre Life. Living beyond labels, libels, and limitations. We all get labeled very early. Those labels, if they stay very long. Have you ever taken a piece of masking tape and put it on a wall, like to put up a picture or something, and then take it off and it leaves that dingy brown scar? Labels are like that on our soul. Loser, slow, dumb, stupid, didn't want me anyway. You're the youngest, you're the oldest, you're the middle child. You used to eat glue, you used to eat paper. You used to eat worse. And you have these labels, and we tend to carry these labels into adulthood. And thank God for someone who will come in your life and rip those labels off, because those labels are lies, and those lies become limits. We need people who will set us free and give us permission to dare, to risk, to do, to be, to stretch. Permission to fail. Permission to step into the breach. To dare something. To risk something. I mean, the verse in the Bible is so poignant, isn't it? I came into this world naked, and I want to leave this world naked. Everything I ever accumulate, I'm going to leave behind. So why do we hold it so tightly? Rather than taking everything God gives us and throwing it into the breach of what could be right with the world if you and I became the solution. I just want to give you permission this morning to dream, to ignore the facts, to stop listening to the rumors and the advice, and be the solution, be the person. Be the author, be the writer, be the singer, be the business guy, be the business gal, be the person who steps up and does something amazing with the life that you've been given. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to be over really quickly. It's going to flash by, and all of your lazy boy days and all of your comfort moments won't matter. It'll be, what did I do with my one and only life? I love, for example, the story of in the Old Testament of Gideon. Gideon was a guy who lived during a time that was so like other times. In Judges chapter 6, it begins like so many other chapters in the Old Testament again. And it says this, again, I like that. Again, Israel disobeyed God. Again. Don't you think God sometimes just gets sick of it? He's praying again. He got his foot in the door again. He opened his big mouth again. He's in trouble again. He needs help again. And God sent judgment in the form of a warring tribe and a warring nation. And it had gotten so bad that Israel would plant their crops during the day and climb back up in the mountains and live in the caves by night. Because their homes were being raided. And it was a dark, terrible time, a dark time. And this is what happens. When the angel of the Lord, theologians call this a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now think of it. Gideon is the smallest kid in his family, the smallest family of his tribe, of the smallest tribe of Israel. He was a nobody. The Bible goes to great pains to tell us that this is a nobody, hiding out. In a barn, in the bottom of a barn, trying to scrape up something to eat. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And think of Gideon. Gideon's a young guy. He's brooding. He's thinking about. Have you ever said, boy, if God would just show up. Well, God showed up. And Gideon says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Isn't that a great response? It's like going to church on Sunday and hearing somebody like me talk about how good God is. And you want to say, good? Oh, God is good. I'd hate to see what my life would be like if he weren't good. God is here. Well, I'd hate to see people like if he weren't here. I mean, this is a kid who has what we call moxie. That's moxie. I tell you what, when Jesus shows up in a glowing figure, you know, and you say this, you got moxie. I think I'd hit the dirt. I said, oh, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. Please. He said, the Lord's with us. He says, where are all the wonders that our father said you've done? I mean, didn't you bring us out of Egypt? Didn't you part the Red Sea? Didn't you kill that army? Hello? Oh, no, but now you have abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian. And that's really interesting. The Lord said, turned to him and said, the strangest thing, go in your own strength, save your country. I'm sending you. I'll be with you. And he says, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, the smallest, the littlest. The Lord said, I'll be with you. And you're going to strike down the Midianites. We're going to do it together. I mean, what a response. And here's the thing. Every time we call God out and say, God, if you're good and your kingdom endures forever, why are things so messed up? Things were messed up in Gideon's day, and they're still messed up. I mean, come on, God. And God says, you know what? Hail, thou mighty man of valor. Go in your own strength. Save your country. That's not what we want to hear, is it? I think God doesn't show up a lot of times because we don't want an answer. We want a fight. God, why'd you let this happen? Why'd you let me get fired? Why'd you let this person say this? Why'd you let this happen? Why'd you let me get a divorce? Why'd blah, 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 blah. Come on, God, let's go. Come on, I'm sick of this. I just want to fight. And God says, hail the almighty man of valor. I don't know the mighty man of valor. I ain't taking Prozac. Come on, let's go. Hail the almighty man of valor. Go in the strength you have. Save your country. I'll be with you. Is that what we want to hear? No. We want to say, give me back my lazy boy. I want my MTV. Come on. Money for nothing and chicks for free. I thought they said chips for free. Isn't that what it says? Chips for free, right? God says, hail the mighty man of valor. Go on your own strength. Save your country. I'll be with you. I'm setting you free. Stinking thinking of this small little life that you've carved out for yourself. You're free. You know what freedom is? Freedom is living anywhere you want to live, doing anything you want to do. As long as it honors God, advances the good, lifts the low, fills the need, advances the good, serves truth, beauty, love, and honor. Isn't that cool? I stand before you today, a guy with a big old dream. I've had a bunch of dreams in my life. You know what the dream of the rest of my life is? To live right here in this place with you, to change the world one life at a time, and to be the solution to the problem. Right here. There are enough abused women, enough neglected children, enough men who are living on the internet in porn, enough messed up people in Williamson County and Davidson County and Middle Tennessee to keep me busy for two lifetimes. How about you? Amen? Amen. Amen. We work with them. We live with them. We're kin to them. And sometimes we live in the same house with them. Amen? Sometimes we're it. And you know what God is saying to you this morning? Go in your own strength. Save your country. I'll be with you. Amen? That's what he's called you to do. That's your mission today. Go in your own strength. Save your country. I'll be with you. Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to achieve through us the solutions you want to see happen. Father, give us dreams. Big, scary, audacious dreams that are way beyond us. Things that we can do. Ways we can live. Risk we can take. And put us around us people who will pick us up and fire us up and set us straight, who will set us free. Who will say, you know what, there are just times the facts don't matter. There are times you don't need to take a poll. Sometimes you just need to go do it. You need to go to Jerusalem. You need to be betrayed. You need to be beaten. And you need to hang on a cross. And you need to be crucified in a garbage pit so that on the third day you can be resurrected. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't listen to your disciples, well-meaning, protected excuses. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't turn your face away from the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you bore my sin and my pain and my sorrow on your divine shoulders. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us beyond anything we can imagine, that you love us as we are, not as we ought to be, that each person in this room is loved as though they are the only person in the world. God, I pray you'll break through our bondage and set us free. We love you, Jesus. Love us. Please don't give up on us. None of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go get them. God bless you.